The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth.
You're listening to Truth Infusion. And now for your host, David Markham.
Thank you, Matt. God bless you. I'm glad that you're here with us today. Welcome to Truth Infusion. This is the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries, and we're excited for the opportunity God's given us to meet you wherever you are, in the car, in the home, work, listening by the radio or the internet. I believe we've got something today that's going to be a blessing to you. If you've been with us the last 2 weeks, been excited to have my father in the studio with us. He's pastor of Partnership Church of Texarkana, and we've been going over some stuff. He's been teaching on some stuff that he's entitled Practical Christianity. It's exactly what this is. It's the stuff that we as Christians living in 2012 deal with every day. One way or another, we've discussed anger. We have looked at what the Bible says about, what was the second one?
Fear.
The fear factor, and we're going to go into one today that I'm excited to hear what God's given you on this. So welcome.
All right.
Here today, and let's get into dealing with guilt.
I taught this in our church, and when I did, I started out by asking them how many people in the congregation would admit that they had a past that they weren't proud of.
Okay.
And you, by having been a part of our church for a long time, you know that we're loaded with people who, you know,
great stories,
are not the normal Christian folks. And so every hand went up in there, because we all have that. We all have a past.
Sure.
And then my next question was, okay, now put your hand down. Now the next question is, how many of you would admit that you still have a problem with that sometimes? And it was amazing to see, I would say 95% of the hands went up again. Went back up again. And these are people, you know, this is the Wednesday night crowd. So these are not the folks who just come to church because it's the thing to do. They're the folks who are there. They're reading for the most part. They're studying on their own, and still they're struggling with guilt. You know, over past issues, they're saved. They're struggling to serve the Lord. They're doing what's necessary to move on. And yet at the same time, there are issues in their past that they can't get over.
And
I don't know why we call it a guilt trip, but that's how we refer to this. Is when we take a trip. I was reading, studying, and I read Adrian Rogers, and here's how he describes a guilt trip. He said, loaded with the luggage of past regrets, we board the emotional plane of pain, assisted by the flight attendants of blame and remorse, piloted by the captain of condemnation. It's a trip we take seated in an uncomfortable chair with the stereo headphones blaring at us the music of "If I'd only not done this" or "If I'd only said that." Kind of describes guilt.
Sure.
See, here's what God wants. The Bible says that God wants us free. He wants us perfectly free. The truth sets us free. He wants us free from our past, free from the penalty, and free from the power of sin in our lives. He wants us free. Satan wants us bound. Since we have given our lives to Christ, now his big objective is to keep us bogged down in what we used to be before we came to Jesus. You know, God's plan for sin is, okay, this happened. Let's deal with it. Let's deal with it quickly and decisively and move on. Satan's plan is, okay, trying to keep us from forgiveness, but if we accept forgiveness, then his next plan is to keep that in our heads so that we never get past it. Yeah. And that's guilt. That's what we're talking about. So we're going to talk today about how guilt stymies us in our Christian growth. There's no way to experience everything God has for you today if you're carrying baggage. And most of us have got so much baggage that it would, if we'd be honest about it,
sure,
unbelievable amount. So since we call it a guilt trip, I put together this study when I gave it to the church in the format of travel. So
all
we're
going
to talk in that motif. So where do we make our reservations on this trip when it comes to guilt? And in other words, what is guilt? What are we talking about? Again, Webster defines guilt as an emotional and mental state we get into when we're liable for a penalty. I don't know that that meant anything to me when I read it. And we're not talking about a social faux pas. We're not talking about even a legal mess up. What we're going to talk about is the spiritual issue of sin, forgiveness, relationship with God, the past. And so here's the definitions we're going to work off of. Because again, like anger and fear, guilt is not necessarily a bad thing. guilt, again, is one of those things that's neither right nor wrong. It's dependent on how we apply it. In fact, there is godly guilt. That's the emotional and spiritual anguish that is caused in our lives by unconfessed sin. You know, conviction. You can call it guilt. Most people call it conviction.
Yeah.
But that's what it is. And it is guilt. But it is godly guilt. It's guilt placed there by God. The world says that that's our conscience bothering us. But we need to understand as Christians, when we sin, that's not my conscience. That is the Holy Spirit in me. God take up residence in my life. And when I introduce sin into his house, he is repulsed by that. And he goes to work to do everything he can. He's already been at work trying to get it not to take place. Then I choose to override him and do it anyway. And then he immediately goes to work to set about making this such a miserable experience that, number one, I deal with as quickly as possible. And number two, I hopefully don't ever walk that way again.
Decisive.
So that's good guilt.
Sure.
It works. But that's not what we're going to be talking about. We're going to talk about that emotional anguish we feel when we refuse to release sin after it's been forgiven. You know, and so that's what we're going to apply. This is detrimental guilt. It's that sin that we have not properly dealt with. It can cause all kind of difficulties. I read Psalms. When you read the book of Psalms, you find David living life and experiencing the ups and the downs. And yeah. He talks a lot about this issue. In Psalm 38:4, he said, "My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear." Anybody who's ever walked there knows what that's like. Psalm 32:3, David said, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through the groaning all day long." Graphically describes what happens to us when we carry around this excess baggage. We weren't made to handle it. It'll cause depression. It'll cause you to get physically sick. There are people who actually even get ill over this mess. So again, I want you to understand God has a plan, and that plan is to deal with this sin as decisively and quickly as possible and move on. And you got to keep those two things, those two parts go together. You know, Satan wants you to get stuck in the past. And when we choose Satan's plan over God's, there's only one word for that. That's disobedience. God has this plan for us. So we've looked at how we make the reservations. Now, the second point is how do we travel with it? Guilt and sin that has not been properly dealt with. So I was thinking about how we deal with those things in our lives, not just the guilt, but the sin that has caused the guilt. And some things came to mind. Some people, and this is not original, this actually came from Zig Ziglar. He said that some people ride the silent subway. In other words, by that, they try to ignore everything.
Yeah.
You know, they're those people who try to ignore the sin, first of all. Christian people, but sin has entered their life, so we're just going to ignore this and it'll go away.
Yeah.
And it doesn't go away. Try to convince themselves, well, this is not, you know, it wasn't one of the big ones, and so therefore it's not a big deal and it'll be fine. And these feelings of guilt and conviction that I feel will go away. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't go away. In fact, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger when we don't deal with it. It nags on you.
I've dealt with counsel with people that have guilt because they rode the silent subway. It was their loved one who was dealing with in the sinfulness,
mm-hmm.
but they did not. They turned a silent, deaf ear to that, and that caused the consequences that it caused. And then they are dealing with guilt.
Yep.
Because they didn't move on behalf of that loved one. But the same thing, just turning a deaf ear, pretending like that's not happening if I don't confront it.
Ignoring sin never works because it doesn't do anything but grow. Ziglar also goes on to say that some people fly the unfriendly skies. Mm-hmm. By that, what he means by that is he quotes Psalm 50. He said, you use your mouth, talking about somebody who was involved in this, said, "You use your mouth for evil and you harness your tongue for deceit, and you speak continually against your brother and slander your own mother's son." Huh. In other words, what he's talking about is people who play the blame game, one thing is for sure, when Christians sin and we don't properly deal with that sin, we're a miserable person. And there's no way around it. If you can, I say it this way, God's not going to let you successfully sin. And if you can successfully sin, you need to really question about whether you have a relationship with God or not.
True.
And so we're sitting here and we're sin is in our lives. We're not properly dealing with it. Guilt is flooding over and we find ourselves miserable. And the truth of the matter is the old saying, misery loves company, is exactly the truth. And we immediately, it's something about human nature has been that way from the very beginning. We immediately immediately looked for somebody else to be at fault in this situation.
And Eve immediately took the fruit to Adam.
Absolutely. I was going to talk about that. Okay. I mean, that's exactly what happened. All the way back in the Garden of Eden, God gave them everything. Just don't eat that tree in the middle of the garden. Exactly what they did. And the Bible says that once they ate it, it's very familiar. They suddenly realized that they are naked. They've always been that way, but all of a sudden this is a dramatic revelation to them. They run off in the woods. They sew together some fig leaves, and they hide from God, and God shows up in the middle of, in the cool of the evening when he always does.
Yeah.
And I picture in my mind every day up until this has been a meeting Adam has anticipated and waited for, and all of a sudden Adam's not there. There's a lot said by absence sometimes. And Adam's in the, and you know the story. God calls out and says, "Where are you?" And Adam says, "I'm hiding." And why are you hiding? I was naked and I was embarrassed. Who told you? Did you eat the fruit? Yeah, that's the question. And you, if you read the story, it's almost comical because Adam's first response is, "That woman." You know, I told the group when I did it was that may have been the most honest statement Adam ever made, and half the crowd got aggravated at me.
Which right half was that? Right?
But that woman, and not only did Adam blame Eve, he blamed God.
Right.
He said, "That woman you gave
that
me.
You gave me."
Acting like, you know, I was perfectly happy before she came along and you decided to do this. And then he turns to Eve and said, "Is that true? Did you do it?" And Eve's response was, "The devil made me do it. The serpent happened." You know, and what you understand is they're passing the buck. They're playing. They're guilty. They know they're guilty. Rather than dealing with sin and dealing with guilt, they're playing the blame game. God showed up that day not to destroy them. God's conviction is never to beat us down, it's to draw us in. That's what he's trying to do. I believe with everything within me that if Adam had just owned up and said, "I did it," God would have forgiven him. Everything would have continued just like it was. That's what God came for. But some people never learn that and just follow that, fly the unfriendly skies. And then the last one he said was that some people take the back roads. In other words, they just prolong the process. You know, just keep on and keep on and keep on and keep on. See, God wants to deal with sin quickly. You know, he paid the price for it. He's done all the work, and he wants to deal with sin quickly, and we don't deal with it. And when we don't deal with it that way, it becomes a cancer.
Yeah.
David in Psalm 38, after his sin with Bathsheba, somewhere, these are feelings he recorded about that period of time between the adultery of Bathsheba and his coming back to God. And he wrote this. He said, "My wounds fester. They're loathsome because of my sinful folly. I am bowed down and brought low. All day long I go around mourning. My back is filled with searing pain. There's no health in my body. I am feeble and crushed. I groan in anguish in my heart."
Wow.
All because he had sinned. I mean, David said this is not only a spiritual thing, it's a physical thing.
Sure.
It has literally affected my whole life. And that's the way it is. When we don't make a beeline to God with our failure, taking the back roads makes it a longer trip, a more costly trip, and those back roads are usually a lot more bumpy than the interstate. So that's how we deal with this sort of thing. And then, so we've looked at what guilt is and how and then we've looked at how we try to deal with things. So what about when we decide we've been sold a bill of goods and it's time to turn around and let's make this right? And I entitled this one, "How Do You Get a Refund?" You bought the wrong ticket.
Yeah.
And it's time to get a refund. So how do we go about, what's God's plan for dealing with sin? Because you see, when you deal with sin, you deal with guilt.
Yeah.
The two things go together. And so the first thing is we have to admit that we bought the wrong ticket. By that I mean we've got to confess our sin. I mean, that's God's answer for sin. God says that the major problem we have in our lives is sin. It's not lack of education. It's not money. It is sin.
Sure.
Sin is the root of it all. And God's answer to sin is confession. 1 John 1:9, familiar verse. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us those sins and then cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But what you got to understand is confession is a Greek word, omolego. Omo means the same. Lego means to say. And so it means to say the same thing. That's what confession is.
Yeah, and really the thrust behind that is we've got to be honest to say the same thing.
Absolutely.
In order to say the same thing, you can't hide it, you can't disguise it,
or else
it's not true confession.
Right.
So we're about to hit into break, and we're going to come back on the other side of the break, and I'm assuming we're going to talk about dealing with guilt and what the Bible says about that. So it starts with confession, And if you want to see what the next step is, you need to come back in 110 seconds. We'll be back dealing with guilt, practical Christianity.
Do you or your loved one need the support of Compassionate Home Healthcare Services? Truth Infusion Ministries would love to recommend Kelton Home Health for your home health needs. They offer skilled nursing care, home health aides, and multiple forms of therapy, all in the comfort of your home. For more information, call 903-796-4040. That's 903-796-4040. Kelton Home Health, enriching lives every day.
Hey, Truth Seekers, this is David Markham, and I want to ask you to go to truthinfusion.com and check out our blog site. I'm using it like a Bible study. We're talking about justification, sanctification, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I want you to go get your Bible, check what I'm saying, make sure I'm telling you the truth. But I think you'll find some things there that challenge you to see things differently, maybe a little more clearly. So truthinfusion.com, check me out on the blog site, and you keep seeking the truth.
If you're in the market for concrete work, Truth Infusion Ministries highly recommends Self Concrete for your project's needs. With 25 years of experience, Kenneth Self is an honest Christian craftsman ready to bid commercial as well as residential jobs. They can do design and build projects as well as decorative stamped work. For more information, call Self Concrete at 903-748-9967. That's 903-748-9967. Kenneth is waiting to hear from you.
Guys, welcome back. We're in the studio today with Pastor Blaine Markham, my dad. He's here discussing teaching on a series that they're going through, PCT, on practical Christianity. And I hope you've been with us for the entirety of the show. The first half, we were identifying what the Bible says is guilt and different ways that we as Christians go about exercising guilt. And then just getting into the idea of how does the Bible tell us to deal with that. And the first step was confession.
Right. And we're talking about confession. Understand, confession is not admission. Some people get those confused. Some people think that all they got to do is admit they did wrong, but that's not confession. Sometimes we admit we did wrong because we got caught. And
right.
That's the only reason we admit it.
Yeah.
That's not confession. Confession means that I get honest with God and I say the same thing about what I did God says about it. I say the same thing. And you got to understand that's a difficult thing. It's a painful step, but it's the first step necessary. And so what I want you to understand is if you're in the middle of this now and we're talking about guilt and you're living under this, the first thing you got to do is properly deal with that sin. And so that means go confess to God. Take that step. First of all, God knows you did it anyway. You're not going to surprise
True.
Him. Second of all, he wants to forgive you. He's not here to condemn you. He wants to forgive
you. Well, the deck is stacked in your favor.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He's sitting here waiting on you. And understand this, and then we'll move on. The reason confession is so important in the guilt topic is because confession always preempts condemnation. Mm. Now, I'll say it again and explain it. Confession preempts condemnation. When we sin, we are under the judgment of God, or at least the discipline of God. And no matter how long it's been, don't mistake God's grace for an inability or a lack of desire to get involved in your problem. God knows.
Yeah.
God may be waiting and giving you a long opportunity to turn, but eventually there will be consequences to this sin unless
you confess. Right.
And once confession and repentance is made, then God forgives. God no longer has to condemn what we have confessed. So the choice is ours. We can either continue to walk this way, or we can say, I bought the wrong ticket. I'm ready to give this thing up. And when we do, the second step is then you got to receive your credit receipt. Now, I'm old fashioned. By that, I mean, I have a hard time paying bills online. Because I'm from the generation where I handed you a $20 bill and you handed me change and something changed hands. But now when we do it online, if you go to an airport, buy your ticket online, and then you want to exchange that ticket or sell it back, they don't give you any money.
Yeah.
They give you a receipt. that says what has taken place. Well, the moment you confess your sin, the Bible says God forgives that sin. God forgives it. Therefore, what happens is when he forgives it, he replaces your sin with his mercy and grace. Mercy removes the condemnation. Grace provides immediate restoration. And then the receipt that you, I mean, it's awesome. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, therefore there's no condemnation for those
That's
who are
right.
in Christ. I mean, think about that. Listen to this one from the Old Testament. I like this. And in Isaiah chapter 1, God said, come, let's reason together. Now God said, let's talk about this. Though your sin be as scarlet, I can make it white as snow. Though they're red as crimson, I can make it like wool. So what's the receipt that you hold in your hand that literally tells you when I confess, God forgave? The answer to that is that Bible that you hold and that you read. And God says over and over in that book, giving you his word, if you will confess, I will forgive. And the receipt is marked paid in full. So therefore,
Amen.
When I decide I want to trade in that ticket, God gives me the word to remind me, and then I have to get rid of that old ticket. It's worthless now.
Gotta let it go.
What it was is worthless. And
yeah.
that means this. The hardest part of dealing with guilt is not accepting God's forgiveness, but forgiving myself for what happened. I've got to learn to go on. That's the battle guilt is found, is learning how to forgive myself and move on. And God doesn't give us a whole lot of in-depth teaching about that. Again, he gives a simple answer. He simply says in Isaiah 43:18, forget the former things. Do not dwell on them. And he says in Philippians 3:13, Paul says, this one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind, I press and reach toward those things that are ahead. So that means this one thing, and I want to stress this. When God forgives, we've got to understand that there is no penance and there is no format to go through to finish that forgiveness. There are churches who teach that, who teach you've got to, you know, pay this amount of money or say this many things or do this many things. And at the end of this long process of doing this, then you can experience. And God said, that's not what God said.
Or you can't be up on stage and you had to go sit down there for 3 weeks.
Oh, absolutely. Where do we get off? How do we as a church, and I'm not saying if a person is in obvious sin, there are things to do. But once they have made it right with God, then we've got to be okay with it.
Where do we get off thinking that
absolutely.
Can hold a higher standard than God does?
You know, when we do prison ministry, I want to tell those guys over and over and over and over again, they've made mistakes. Okay, deal with this in the right way. And if somebody else has a problem with it, if you're okay with God, you know.
What can they say?
Absolutely. And what difference does it make what they say?
Yeah.
You know, we've got to get over that. The only way to accomplish all this stuff is through absolutely that properly dealing with sin. And so what does God want from us? How does God want us to live life? Not bow down under all that mess, but he wants to give us freedom.
Sure.
So how do we do that? I listed some things traveling. First of all, when it comes to our lives, God looks at us and says, I want you to, on this trip we're going to take together from here till you see me in glory. The first rule is no luggage. Mm-hmm. I've been on several flights in my life, and some of them all you can get was carry-on. You know, couldn't carry big bags, just carry-on. But when it comes to God, God says no luggage at all. You know, God's desire is, once he has dealt with sin, to give us a clean, clear conscience. I love these verses, Jeremiah 31:34, I will forgive your wickedness and remember your sins no more. God has the ability to forget. And I love this one, Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's removed our transgressions from us. I told the group when I was doing it, you know, you ever stop to wonder why God said east from the west? Why not north from the south? And the reason is very clear. When you travel, you start traveling north, traveling on the earth, eventually you'll turn the corner and start traveling south. Mm-hmm. And so that means that's a finite dimension, north to south.
You can only go north so far, then you're going south.
But east and west, east is east, and you never turn the corner and start going west. You're just always going east. And God says, that's how far I have removed this from you.
Yeah.
And when God is through with it, we need to be through with it. And so he says no luggage. Second of all, and this one raised some eyebrows. The second thing about this trip with God is no smoking. Okay. What I mean by that is I told him, I said, smoking is a smelly, dangerous habit.
Yeah.
And so is sin. It's a smelly, dangerous habit. And God is all about wanting to change your character. You know, I've been in construction business all my life, and God's not in the remodeling business. God is in the total rebuild. He says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creature. The old is gone, and the new has come. See, what God's about is lasting freedom. Not a momentary relief from the guilt and the past you're carrying, but lasting freedom. And that only comes when we allow him to replace our old character with the character of Christ. And then the next time we face the same situation, if we'll face it with that realization that we are God's and indwelt by the power of the Spirit, and we move where it caused us to stumble before we walk past, we find out there really is something to this change. And the last aspect of this trip with the Lord is that there's no waiting. I hate waiting in lines.
Yeah.
This week in real life, and I don't know when this will air, but this week was the week when everybody was supposed to go eat at Chick-fil-A on Wednesday.
Right.
And I did, but I ate about 3:30 in the afternoon because I wasn't waiting in the lines. Mm-hmm. I agreed with everything they stood for, but not I wasn't waiting in any lines. But when it comes to God's forgiveness and him dealing with us and cleaning up our lives and giving us that opportunity, there's no waiting. I've already said it, no repentance. There is God's plan. I've said it a bunch, but we need to hear God's plan. Deal with sin. Deal with it decisively. Deal with it quickly. Move on, because God offers immediate restoration once it's all said and once it's all done. Yeah, you know, God's the only one who can do that for us. You can come to me as a pastor, we can go to a counselor, we can do whatever, but only God is capable of giving us canceling the guilt trip, and we have to let it go.
I found in my life there's only a small handful of things that I really would be able to carry guilt over. You know, and I think that God's dealt with those things in my life because I don't walk around considering or thinking about it. But when they do come to mind, I go, oh, you know, you just get that. Oh, man, I hate that ever was a part of my life. And here's what I find is happening. If I will dwell, if I go back and pick up the baggage and in my mind, I start to dwell on that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take long for my whole countenance to change.
Oh, absolutely.
Because that condemnation that Satan is waiting to stick us with.
And that's who does it. And the Bible says he's the accuser.
Yeah, and Jesus, you know, the Bible says Jesus said, I did not come to condemn.
No doubt.
I came to save. And so when God gets us to the place where we're blessed enough to set the baggage down, let's don't go back and pick that mess back
leave
up.
Leave it alone. Some people learn that lesson. They're the ones that you see. And you see them and you're amazed by their life. And then you hear a word of testimony and you go, that's what you used to be.
You did that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And they have so gotten over it and gotten past it that you're amazed that it ever took
place. No strings attached.
No, man. That's where we need to be going.
And that's practical Christianity. Thank you for coming in and sharing and teaching. I've had a good time these last few weeks.
Me too. Me too.
God bless you, truth seekers. Above all things, keep seeking the truth.
Thank you for listening to Truth Infusion. Please visit Truth Infusion Ministries on the web at truthinfusion.com. Once again, that's truthinfusion.com. We also would like to hear from our listeners. Email us truthinfusion@gmail.com.